Let me once again welcome you to Grace Church this morning. Some of you are not here for the first time, but for the first time in a long time, we're glad you're back. We're also glad that everyone's here, and to be quite honest, this is one of those messages that is kind of, it's exciting, it's kind of in the wheelhouse, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where you're just really excited to preach this morning. And so for those of you who haven't been here in a while, we are going through a series that we're calling Level Up. The idea is, how do we level up in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Christ? We've talked about things like prayer. We've talked about the Bible. We've talked about giving. We've talked about community. And today we're going to talk about sharing our faith or making disciples. It's something that has been a passion of mine for quite a while. And you know that because if you've been here for a while, you hear me talking about it all the time. And so you know where I stand on this stuff. So what I'm going to share today probably isn't groundbreaking or earth-shattering or anything that you haven't heard before. But I want to give you today just some practical things that will help us in actually taking that step to share our faith. I think most of us, if not all of us, understand the importance of it, but we're gonna talk about how we can do that a little bit better today, okay? But before we jump into that, I want to spend some time in prayer. I know there are a lot of prayer requests within the church and also some great answers to prayer. We're thankful, for example, that Hunter got to go home for the weekend. So that's a great praise from Memphis to come back to Peoria and be with his family. Some he hasn't seen in a number of months. So that's wonderful. We're thankful that Lisa's surgery came out okay and that she's doing better. We're thankful that Judy's here with us, because that was in question earlier this weekend. So we're glad you're here, Judy. Thankful for the Browns back with us. Hi, guys. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We're just thankful all over the place. But I know there are also some things that we need to continue to pray for, like Michael's continued cancer treatments, and Jim, we need to continue to pray for him. And, of course, Vonda's still recovering from her broken hip and different things that are happening. So let's together just go to prayer. And what I would like to challenge you to do, if you can, I'm gonna pray out loud. But as God leads your heart to pray, even silently in your chair, or even if you want to whisper a prayer, you can do that as I'm praying. And just so that we're all praying together and focusing on some of these things, and God may lay something on your heart that I'm not even praying for, and that's fine. You pray for those things, and because I know all of us, we come to church on Sunday morning, right? We put the smile on our face, and everything's happy and everything's good. And someone comes by and says, "How you doing?" And you're like, "I'm doing great." When inside there are things that are really concerning you, things like where are our kids going to move, things like son-in-law's parents who have COVID in Colombia, right? I mean, Those are things that weigh on our heart, and sometimes if we don't take care of those things, they can distract us from what God wants to say to us. So I want to do something a little bit different today before we open God's Word. Just, if you wouldn't mind indulging me just a second, I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads, and I want you to think of that thing in your life that's really concerning you, and it might not be anything that I shared earlier, or it might not be any of that stuff. It might be something that's deeply personal and something that is deeply troubling you that maybe only you know about. And what I would like you to do is as you're thinking about those things, I would like you to imagine that you're taking those things in your hands and just close your fist around those things right now. All right? And just imagine those things that you're holding on to them, and that you're holding on to, and that you're concerned about. And that's, it's fine to be concerned about things. But this morning, what I would like us to do is as we pray and as you pray about the things that are in your hands, that you would release them and just give them to the Lord this morning and ask him to take them. Even if it's just for the next hour or so, that God would take those things and that he would hold on to them for you for the next hour so that you can hear from him. All right, as I pray and as you pray, just release those things to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. And I thank you for each person who's here. Lord, it is not an accident that any one of us are here. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word this morning, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be able to receive what you have to say to us. Lord, whether we need to deal with some sin in our life, Lord, or whether we just need to let go of the things that are worrying us, I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with each need that is even now in the minds of every person here being lifted before you. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but you hear each one. And you listen intently to each one, even as they're all going up at once. Lord, there are people praying in this city, even right now, and in other churches and in other homes and in other places that are just going up before you. And Lord, everyone you hear, everyone you understand, everyone you are concerned about. And Lord, I just thank you for that fact, that you hear each of us as we pray. And so, Lord, as we lift these prayers to you, as we lift these concerns to you, I pray that we would be able to just release them to you. And Lord, I pray for the needs that are on my heart. And Lord, I just release them to you, and I give them to you, and I ask that you would take them and that you would do what you do to resolve those things that are going on in my life. I pray, Lord, that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. Lord, just help me to share what is on your heart this morning as we open your word. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity for us as a family of believers to just lift these concerns to you. As we open our hands and release them to you, God, take them. Take them and may we forget about them for just a while, so that we might hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for indulging me in that in just a little bit. So tonight is the big game, right? The team from Cincinnati is taking on one of the two teams from Los Angeles, and we're left to root for a team that maybe we don't particularly care about, right? I mean, none of our teams got in. Steelers didn't get in. The Bears didn't get in. Packers didn't get in. The Vikings didn't get in. What? Yeah. But most of the country, most of the world actually will watch this game because it's the thing to do, right? The team from Los Angeles, I want to just throw this out here, did something in the middle of the season that might just win them a championship. Back in November, a player from the Cleveland Browns, we'll just call him number 12, okay? He was upset at the Browns because his quarterback wasn't throwing him the ball enough. And he was more or less being a jerk about it. And it caused the Browns team to release him, all right? And then less than a week later, the Los Angeles team signed him to a one-year deal. This means that they recruited number 12 and got him to join their team. Number 12 is now doing a very good job for his new employer, and as a result, they're going to be playing tonight for the championship. What happened with number 12 is a lot like what happened to each one of us when we got saved. Hear me out. We were part of one team, realized somehow that we were not going anywhere with that team, and then began to look for another team. There was someone who recruited us to their team, and now we're on God's team. Why do I talk about this? Two reasons. First, that it's Big Game Sunday, and I always like to keep my message relevant to the times. But second, and more importantly, it relates to today's Level Up message. When Jesus left his disciples, he gave them a mission. Essentially, Jesus wanted them to go and recruit as many as they could from every part of the world to join God's team in the battle for the souls of every man, woman, and child in the world. Jesus put it this way: All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We call this the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus put it this way: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus' mission for the disciples was for them to reach the world with the gospel. And guess what? That's our mission too. In our scripture reading this morning, we're going to see just what I believe God wants from each of us as we seek to level up our witnessing and our disciple making. So I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, and it helps if I turn it on. And we had issues with this last week, not going. It's not going again. Oh, there it goes. No, we got it. We got it. We got it. Chill out. I love you. All right. Let's stand together in honor of reading of God's word as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 11 to 21 together. Here we go. "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all of the things that you have done in us and through us. We thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that you have given us. And we pray, Lord, that as we talk about some practical ways that we can level up our gospel ministry, our gospel presentation, and our disciple making, Lord, that we might receive that and really put it into practice. We ask that you would, I ask, Lord, that you would take the words of my mouth and that they would be yours and not mine, and that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish in us as we hear from your word. Lord, we love you and we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we just read here, like it or not, we are responsible for accomplishing this ministry of reconciliation, as Paul put it, that seeks to bring men, women, boys, girls to God so that they can have a right relationship with him. We call this sharing our faith or making disciples. I've talked to you, again, as I said earlier, time and again about this, but it bears repeating. You and I are the ones in whom the proclamation of the gospel lies. We must share it. We must make disciples. So many people say to me, but Pastor, I just don't know how to share the gospel with people. Some others say, but Pastor, no one is going to want to listen to what I have to say to them. Or this one, but Pastor, I'm not a good speaker, and when I talk, I sound like I have a mouthful of spaghetti. To all those excuses, and they are excuses, I simply reply, Moses. Why Moses? Because he had the exact same excuses. When God called Moses to go and do something huge, rescue the entire nation of Israel from under the yoke of slavery that they were under in Egypt, he said, I don't talk very well. They're not going to listen to me. I don't know how to do that. And you know what God did? God would not allow him to worm his way out of the responsibility that he was only going to give to Moses. God has placed the advancement of his kingdom in the hands of the church. Not Grace EV Church specifically, not the Baptist Church specifically, but the church. All believers everywhere. You and I, the membership at Baptist, the membership at Trinity, United Methodist, the Lutherans and Presbyterians, all of us who claim to have a relationship with God have been tasked with the advancement of his kingdom. And you know what? God doesn't have a plan B here. We are it. And if we simply tell God, no, I'm not going to do it, then perhaps it's time we take a long, hard look in the mirror and examine ourselves to see whether we're really in the faith, like Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5. So allow me just to give you some tips on sharing your faith and making disciples, okay? I have a feeling that we're going to have all three points show up here at once because that's kind of how I set it up here. But all that being said, the scripture passage that we're really pulling out here is what was our scripture reading, 2 Corinthians 5. And so I'm not sure how often we will reference that, but the principles are there. All right. So first thing I want you to understand is that we need to start with relationship. OK, we start with relationship. And we should really start with the relationships that we already have, someone that we already know, all right? Most likely, all of us have relationship with someone who is not yet saved, or what I like to call a pre-Christian. Okay, see, because that thought process says they're going to be a Christian eventually. Because I'm not giving up until they become saved. And so, pre-Christians, that's what we'll call them from here on out, all right? But you start with pre-Christians that you already know. And we continue to build those relationships to the point where you're comfortable with sharing the gospel, or as comfortable as you can be. I don't think we're ever really comfortable sharing the gospel. But I know that sharing the gospel can be frightening. Cause us to be a little uneasy, but we need to understand that we start with those relationships that we already have. Then we expand to the ones within our circle of influence or our life path. So as you go about your life, open your eyes and begin to see the unsaved people that are around you. Now, some of these people, like I said, some of these people you already know. You could be related to them. You could be married to them. You could be working with them already. All right. So these are people who you already know. Now, as you expand that circle, expand those relationships, you look at within your circle of influence. All right. So again, this might still be family or coworkers, might be neighbors, or might even be people that you see regularly. All right. So, for example, you go to the same store every week for groceries. you might, you know, and most of us, we go at the same time every week. And as we go to the store, and as we are looking around, we see some of the same people. And if you're seeing these people every week, maybe God has you on the path of that person's life to strike up a conversation and build a relationship with them. Now, look, I understand this is like, whoa, wait a minute. This is crazy. I'm not an extrovert like you, Pastor. Okay, I think I told you, or maybe I told the life class last week, you wouldn't believe it to look at me. I'm an introvert too. Yeah, right. You're up front every week. You're not an introvert. In my heart of hearts, I am. If you would like some week, I can bring my mom up here to testify that when I was younger, I would stand behind her leg all the time at church. She would go up and talk to people. I would be there holding her hand or clinging to her leg behind her because I didn't want to talk to anybody. When I was in junior high school, I was still kind of that way. But this is how God works sometimes. But I made a friend who was not an introvert. And he was nuts. I mean, just flat out nuts. As I grew in my faith and as I grew as a person, I began to realize that I needed to be more nuts. Yeah. And as most of you know, mission accomplished, right? But here's the thing, right? As we go through our life path, whether it's the store or the Y or our gym or our service clubs or whatever else it might be, God is going to bring people along our life path that need Jesus, that are pre-Christians, and that He is bringing into our lives for the express purpose to build a relationship with them for the purpose of sharing the gospel. Now, sometimes God brings someone into our life, and at that moment, it's time to share the gospel, and the Spirit leads you to do that. Other times, and I think more often than not, God is going to bring people in your lives to build relationships with, because I think when you share the gospel in the midst of a relationship, that is more readily received. Not that it can't be received if you cold call them, as it were, and just share the gospel with someone you just met, like on a plane or at a restaurant or whatever. Okay? So as you see where these people are, these pre-Christian people, then you begin to build relationships with them. That's expanding within your life path. All right? Now, if you don't have unsafe or pre-Christian people, if you're not finding them on your regular life path, then maybe it's time to adjust or change your path. Maybe there's something God is wanting you to be involved in or to do that will bring more unsafe people along your path. I don't know what that might look like. It might be something as drastic as changing jobs. Or it might be something as simple as changing what time you go to the store or where you shop. Okay? I don't know. The Holy Spirit will lead you in that. But if again, like for me, and I've told you this story before, I was preaching this. I was sharing this with my students when I was a youth pastor, and I realized that I did not have unsaved pre-Christian people in my circle of influence because I spent my time at church or at home, and most of the people at church were Christians, and most of the people. Well, all of the people at home were Christians, and the places that I would go brought me along the path of Christian people, and so I needed to change my path. And so I prayed, God, where do you want me to go? If you want me to be a witness for Christ, you're going to have to bring people into my life who are unsaved. And God did that. And I've shared that story before, so I'm not going to share it now because we have to get through our time together. But we need to have our eyes open and look for the unsaved people around us. Now, I will say this. While this changing of our life path is sometimes scary, I want you to understand that salt can't flavor anything if it never comes out of the shaker. So if all we're doing is coming to church listening to the pastor preach for a half hour to 45 minutes, and then we go home and we just keep in our path of Christian people and we're all insulated and we're all singing kumbaya and holding hands, then the salt is worthless if it stays in the shaker. And I want to challenge you to get out there and find pre-Christian people. Okay, so starts with relationships, all right? Then we move on to our testimony. It continues with our testimony, okay? So you ask, okay, so how do I share my testimony? Pastor, how do I share? I know you want me to share my testimony, and I know I ought to share my testimony, but how do I share my testimony? Can you help me with that? Yes, I can. Thank you for asking. The first thing you need to do is you talk about, part of your testimony needs to be where you were before Jesus came into your life. What were the things you were dealing with? What were the things that were on your heart? What were the things that you were struggling with? These are all things that brought you eventually to Christ. So you need to ask yourself or talk about what was going on in your life before you met Jesus. How did you feel? How did you come to see your need for Christ? And if you were very, listen, and now some of us, we accepted Christ at such a young age, we don't remember a life before Christ. All right? Or we don't have a life before Christ. If you were very young when you accepted Jesus, what kind of things do you believe God has saved you from? You know, what might be the things that have God, because he saved you at such a young age, what did he keep you from being a Christian as so young? All right, so you start with where you were before Jesus. Then you move on to how you met Jesus. Who talked to you about Jesus? Who was the person who had a relationship with you and shared the gospel with you? Well, you might say, well, I didn't have a relationship with the person who shared the gospel with me because it was a traveling evangelist who came through and I was at a tent meeting and I heard the gospel and I accepted Christ. Well, guess what? Someone probably invited you to the tent meeting. Somebody probably was excited that you accept Christ. Somebody probably had a hand in you coming to Christ. And so who were those people? Where did you hear about Christ? What was it that the person said or did that caused you to want Jesus? And how and when did you make that decision? So all that is part of how you met Jesus, okay? And that is part of your testimony as well. Then finally, what's the difference that Jesus has made in your life now? And you share that. How has your life changed since coming to know Jesus? What is different as a result of Jesus being a part of your life? And what things is God teaching you now? These are all part of your testimony, okay? These are all part of your sharing your testimony with Christ. And guess what? As you share your testimony with people, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. That's the gospel at work in your life and how it changed you. And because you have developed relationship with these people, they want to know. Or they should want to know. If the relationship is real, they're going to want to know how you came to know Christ. Because that's a part of who you are, because you built this relationship with them. Okay? So again, we look at our scripture passage, right? And he talks about we know what it is to fear the Lord, so we try to persuade others. We don't look at people from a worldly point of view anymore. We look at them as people who Jesus loves, and we look at them as people who are going to spend eternity in one of two places. And as a result, the gospel can change where they're going to spend eternity. I want to say this, and I know I've said it before, but I want to remind you again, your testimony shared with the people that you have a relationship with is going to have far more profound effect to the people that you share the gospel with than bringing them to church and hearing it from me. I'm not saying you shouldn't invite people to church to hear the gospel. I'm not saying that. But when you share your testimony, because that's a part of who you are, and as you share that with people, they are going to respect that and they're going to understand more of who you are and why you are the way you are. Okay? Does that make sense? This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, look, we look at people from a spiritual point of view. That people who are in Christ become these new creations. We change in ways that are so profound that people can't help but seeing something's different about that person, all right? So we start with relationships, we continue with our testimony, and then we follow up with a challenge. We build these relationships, and then we share our testimony. And then after we share our testimony or we share the gospel, we need to challenge people to respond to the gospel. Now, this can be a very simple, do you understand what I'm telling you? Right? That they may say yes, they may say no. If they say yes, do you want to have a relationship with Jesus too? If they say no, share your testimony again. I don't quite understand this. Well, let me tell you again and try to be more clear, give more details if you. Okay, so the question is simple. Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? Let's say it together. Do you want to have, everybody together, we can do this. Here we go, 1, 2, 3. Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? See how simple that is? You all just said it. Well, most of you. You all just said the words, and so I know you can say it, all right? This is an explanation of what the gospel is all about, right here. If you talk to people, you say, you admit your sin, you confess it, you admit that you are a sinner, you believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, Son of God, the only way to heaven, you commit your life to Jesus, you say, God, I believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and I will receive that gift of eternal life and walk forever with you. All right? So you challenge them to respond, and then you wait for them to respond. Now, this can sometimes get sketchy, because sometimes you challenge them to respond, and you sit there, and they're thinking, and they wait, and you're like, I mean, it can seem like eternity. You're just sitting there, what are you going to say? All right? But they can respond in one of two ways, right? They can respond by saying yes, or they can respond by saying no. See how easy this is? This is so simple. So you challenge them to respond. They're going to say either yes or no. If they say yes, then you begin discipleship. I don't know why my voice just cracked there. You begin discipleship. You begin to start walking with them through maybe the Gospel of John, or maybe if you're really bold, through the Book of Romans, or you start somewhere with them, and walk through that process with them. Don't just say, here, go read John. Say, go read the first chapter of John, and then next week we'll get together and we'll talk about it. That's discipleship. Start walking through them with the Gospel of John. Start meeting regularly and praying with them. Now, this can be it could be at work. It could be, you know, you go for coffee. It could be on a break. It could be wherever it is that you can meet with them. But start meeting with them regularly, whether it's once a week or maybe twice a week. And challenging them and continue to pray with them and talk about what you're learning in the Gospel of John. Now, listen, real change, and this is something that we're learning in life class, and if you'd like to come to life class, we start at 9 o'clock, and it's been a really good study so far. I would love for you to be a part of it. But what we've learned in life class is that most Christians learn how to be Christians by watching other Christians. And the problem is that most Christians don't live in the grace that God has given them. And therefore, most Christians watching who don't change, they haven't become that new creation, or practically speaking, that they watch those people and they think, okay, so that's how I live. And what we need to be is we need to be so in tune with what God wants us to be and to do, is that they will watch us live our life with Christ, and they will learn how to be a Christian by watching us. And that is a scary thing. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. Okay? So if they say yes, begin with discipleship. If they say no, circle around and do it again. Not that same day. Okay? Not that same day. Give it a week, maybe two, and then come back around, share your testimony, and challenge them to respond again. If they say no, friends, don't be discouraged. Most people, and again, I don't know if this stat still holds water or if it's maybe it's more now, maybe it's less. But when I heard it, the average person needs to hear or needs to have an authentic experience, whether it's a long-lasting relationship or maybe even just a conversation, with at least 7.5 real Christians before they will even begin to accept the claims of Christ. Now, that's an average. Some people it's 1. Some people it's 5. Some people it's 7. Some people it's 10. Some people it's 20. Some people it's 100. Okay? But the point is, don't be discouraged. Your responsibility is to share. God's responsibility is to draw. If they say no, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. So don't be discouraged. Keep praying. And then come back to that friendship and say, you know what? That's okay. You're still my friend and I still love you regardless of whether you accept Christ or not. A lot of people go to the verse where Jesus says if people don't receive you, to shake the dust of their town off your feet and then go somewhere else. That's not what Jesus is saying to us in this passage. This is, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled with God. The idea, it's a begging, because we know what the alternative is if you die without Christ. And so we implore you, we beg you to be reconciled to God, because you do not want to die in your sins. And so we come back, we continue to be their friend, and we continue to share. That is sharing the gospel, disciple making 101 right there. Build relationships, share your testimony, and challenge them to respond. 3 simple steps. So I want to give you a challenge. I want you to choose one for the next 30. I want you to choose one person that you are going to share Christ with within the next month. Now, look, you don't need to choose this person right now, because you might be in the spot that I was back when I was a youth pastor and not have any unsafe relationships with any unsafe people at this point in your life. That's okay. That's okay. What I want you to do is I want you to ask God to help bring a person to your mind or even into your life. Pray a prayer like this. Lord, who is it in my circle of influence or in my life path that I need to share Christ with? Please help me to see who it is that needs you and help open a door to either start a relationship with this person or to deepen a relationship with this person. Do you see that this prayer is not necessarily about give me an opportunity to share the gospel? I mean, it is. But the focus is on the relationship. Most people are more willing to come to Christ in the context of a meaningful relationship than they are if they come to a church service and someone shares the gospel from the pulpit. This is one of those prayers that I believe God is excited to answer. And you know why I believe this? Because this is what Jesus did. You look at the life of Christ. Who were the people he hung out with? It wasn't the religious. It wasn't the elite. It wasn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was fishermen, rough guys. It was tax collectors. It was just these crazy men who had the audacity to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And these weren't perfect guys, right? I mean, Peter denied Christ 3 times. The rest of the disciples all scattered when the Romans came. All of these guys were flawed in many ways, just like we are. But yet, when Christ got a hold of them, when the Spirit got a hold of them, they were able, as the Scripture says, to turn the world upside down. And we're no different. But it starts with those relationships. And God is going to say, look, I want to answer this prayer. So as you pray this prayer, God is going to do some amazing things in your life to actually open those doors to relationships with the unsaved or the pre-Christian. You're going to see circumstances turn in a way that you never expected. And when you have your name of that person, start praying specifically for that individual, and it will be even more evident and exciting of the things that God is doing. So once you have your name, start building that relationship with that person. Call them regularly, text them, share things with them, go out for coffee or a meal together. And as you do that, here's the second challenge. Pray that God would give you opportunities to share Christ or share your testimony with this person this next month. And be specific. Ask God to give you an opportunity to share Jesus with that person that you've been, and I hate to use this term, working on, okay, sometime within the next 30 days. Open your eyes to see when and where you can open your mouth and talk about Jesus. Here's another thing I want to say. Just every conversation that you have with this person doesn't have to be about Jesus. You could talk about the Super Bowl if they're into that. You could talk about your favorite sports team or their favorite sports team. You could talk about woodworking or fishing. You could talk about whatever it is that you have in common. You could talk about a lot of different things. It doesn't always have to be about Jesus, but ask God to open a door to begin to share your testimony. Now, I want to make a distinction here, and we talked about this just a little bit ago. I am not asking you to make sure that person prays a prayer to receive Christ within the next 30 days, but that you would share Christ with them sometime in the next 30 days. Because I know that God asks us to share the gospel. As I said earlier, He is in charge of drawing people to Jesus. So if we do our part, He will eventually do His part. And it may not happen in our time or in our way, but I know that it will happen. And you know what? Here's something else that might happen. As you share Christ with someone, if they continually say no, but you keep building that relationship, something's going to happen that's going to draw that person to Christ. And it might not even be you that leads them to Christ. And you might think, man, that stinks. I put all this time and effort in this person. Someone else leads them to Christ. No, that's not how you're going to feel. I guarantee that's not how you're going to feel. That person's going to come to Christ and they're going to come and tell you, hey, Mike, guess what? I prayed to receive Christ last night. And you're going to go, woohoo! Dude, that's awesome! High five! Bam! Sorry if I scared you. Sorry if I woke anybody up in the nursery there either. I was just thinking that. There will eventually be a time in your relationship that they will be ripe and ready and willing to come to Jesus and give their lives to Him. It might be in a week. It might be in a month. It might be in a year. It might be 10 years. But regardless, we continue to share. And then after your 30 days, I want you to share what happens. I want you to share what happens with the church. Next month, March 13th, and again, I realize it's not quite 30 days, it's only 28, so give me a break. We are going to have a special service right here to give you time to share what God has done as a result of these prayers. At that service, I want you to share about times throughout the past month that you've attempted to share your faith with the people you've built relationships with. Or that you already have relationships with. I want to hear about your successes. I want to hear about the people who said yes to Jesus. I want to hear about the people who said no to Jesus and how you're working your way back to sharing the gospel again. This is something that cannot wait, friends. We are living in a day and age when Jesus could come back at any moment. And the lives, it is not overselling it to say that the eternal souls of people are hanging in the balance. If we're going to see this world become a living, walking hands and feet of Jesus, then we need to get out there and start serving, speaking, and going to the places that Jesus is needed most. Let me just say one last thing as we close. I know that there are those of you in our church who have been doing this, and that what I'm saying, you're like, duh. I do this all the time. I know there is a heart within our church to see people come to know Jesus, but sometimes I think we fail to understand the gravity of the command that Jesus gave his disciples and in turn gave us to make disciples of everyone. Friends, I'll say it again. We are it. We are it. We are the ones through whom the world is going to see Jesus or not see Jesus. And I just want to make sure that every last one of us is able and willing to share our faith, to share our testimony, and making disciples just as Jesus commands us to do. That we become ambassadors for Christ as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your love and for your goodness. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, as we've sung, that we love to tell the story. We love to tell the story of unseen things above. We love to share, tell the story to those who know it best. But Lord, we love to tell the story to those who have never heard. And Lord, we're growing in an increasing in a society where increasing numbers of people are not understanding what the gospel is. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to reach out to the people around us who are pre-Christians, who just have not yet had a relationship with that right person who is going to share their testimony. And God, you are going to draw them to Jesus, and they are going to become that new creation. And Lord, I pray that you would use us in that task to advance your kingdom wherever it is that you are calling us to go. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.